This morning I bring greetings in the name of Christ, our Lord and Savior. I have been blessed by seeing how God has put this service together. I've been thinking of a verse for the last probably 2 months and pondering over this verse, wondering what does this really mean? And I'm not sure that I know yet. I think I understand a bit. And I was blessed by John's devotional, this 86-year-old man. I think he had a glimpse of this verse, and that blessed me, how God put this together. We sang the song, "Jesus is all the world to me." Is he? Is he really? John 14, verse 15, "If you love me, keep my commandments." What does that mean? If you love me, if you do, then do what I say. If. I found it ironic that I was planning on preaching a message like this, and our superintendent tells those men in the conference room to sit on the outside of the room to have class. What did those men do? They went into the conference room and had class there. Who are those men? I was one of them. Jesus says, if you love me, then just do what I say. I find this word commandments, it either means a deity or like God or something that a man tells us. So did we really show respect to our superintendent? Did we? I'd like to begin with several stories. Bristol officer shoots, kills man after car rammed. A Bristol police officer shot a man to death early Friday during a pursuit that started in Bristol, Indiana, and ended with the gunshots. Michigan State Police, who are investigating the shooting, said in a news release that David Sanders, 46, of Three Rivers, died from his injuries at the scene. The Bristol Police Department issued a new news release that said Sanders fled Bristol officers at 12:37 a.m. and the chase traveled into White Pigeon to near the intersection of Barker Road and Vistula Road. There, both the Michigan State Police and Bristol releases state that Sanders rammed a Bristol patrol car with his vehicle, and the officer in the patrol vehicle fired shots. Do you suppose there was any lights going? Do you suppose there was a reason that this man was asked to stop? As I was thinking of this message, I go to work every day to Goshen, and I see these little signs beside the road where the school bus stops. And what does it say on those signs? It says stop means stop for school buses. So does that mean I go to the conference room when I'm told not to? Does that mean when I think that I can pass a school bus and it stopped, it's okay? I just saw in the paper a lady is going to serve jail time for killing three children because apparently didn't stop. Jesus said, if you love me, keep my commandments. I'd like to read another story. According to the Casper, Wyoming Star Tribune, Charles Taylor was brought into the courtroom of Judge James Fleetwood. Taylor was accused of robbing a shoe store at knife point, taking a pair of tan hiking boots and $69. During the trial, Taylor propped his feet up on the defense table. The judge looked over and did a double take. Taylor was wearing a pair of tan hiking boots. Surely, nobody would be so arrogant or stupid as to wear the boots he stole to the trial, the judge thought. Nevertheless, as the jury deliberated, the judge had an FBI agent call the store. He learned that the stolen shoes were size 10.5 from lot 1046. The jury found Taylor guilty, and the judge sent him back to jail in his stocking feet. Some transgressors are either very arrogant and stupid or very brazen about their crimes. Before God, their judge, defiant sinners oftentimes are both. In my work that I do, I see this take place more and more. It's not just by the people I work with. It's not just the people I work or worship with, but it's people everywhere. My question is, what does it mean, if you love me, keep my commandments? Are we able to keep what the Bible tells us if we're not able to listen to what we're told? That's a question. Now, there are cases where things get out of proportion, maybe. I'd like to read John 14, starting in verse 15. If we notice, John 14 takes place just sometime prior to Jesus' suffering and death. And Jesus is simply consoling the disciples, telling them what's going to happen. And in some ways, they heard the words, but maybe didn't quite get it. And he starts in verse 1, "Let not your heart be troubled. Ye believe in God, believe also in me." In other words, don't let your heart become all agitated and worked up and when these things happen. And then Jesus in verse 6 says, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me." Then he comes to Philip, and Philip says, "Well, just show us the Father then." They were walking with Jesus for 3 years. Jesus was explaining to them who God was and who he was and what he was here for. And then Philip says, "Well, sag uns ich mal dann, was happened zu." Just tell us what's going to happen. I don't know how Jesus felt, but do you think he felt kind of exasperated? Here, I was trying to tell you all this while, and it still hasn't soaked in. What would he tell us? What would he tell me? And then he comes. He says in verse 12, "He that believeth on me, the works that I do, shall he do also, and greater works than these shall he do, because I go unto my Father." Verse 15. I'm going to read it in the Amplified. "If you really love me, you will keep, obey my commands." If you really love me. "And I will ask the Father, and he will give you another comforter, counselor, helper, intercessor, advocate, strengthener, and standby, that he may remain with you forever. The Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, welcome, take to its heart, because it does not see me, does not see him, nor know and recognize him. But you know and recognize him, for he lives with you constantly and will be in you. And I will not leave you orphans, comfortless, desolate, bereaved, forlorn, helpless. I will come back to you. Just a little while now, and the world will not see me anymore. But you see me because I live. You will live also. At that time, when that day comes, you will know for yourself that I am in my Father, and you are in me, and I am in you. The person who has my commands and keeps them is the one who really loves me, and whoever really loves me will be loved by my Father, and I too will love him and will manifest myself to him. I will let myself be clearly seen by him and make myself real to him. Judas, not Iscariot, asked him, Lord, how is it that you will reveal yourself, make yourself real to us and not to the world? Jesus answered, if a person really loves me, he will keep my word, obey my teaching, and my Father will love him, and we will come to him and make our home abode, special dwelling place with him. Anyone who does not really love me does not observe and obey my teaching. And the teaching which you hear and heed is not mine, but comes from the Father who sent me. I have told you these things while I am still with you, but the Comforter, Counselor, Helper, Intercessor, Advocate, Strengthener, Standby, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, in my behalf to represent me and act on my behalf, he will teach you all things, and he will cause you to recall, will remind you of, bring to your remembrance everything I have told you. Peace I leave with you, my own peace I now give and bequeath to you. Not as the world gives do I give to you. Do not let your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. Stop allowing yourselves to be agitated and disturbed, and do not permit yourselves to be fearful and intimidated and cowardly and unsettled. You heard me tell you, I am going away, and I am coming back to you. If you really loved me, you would have been glad because I am going to the Father. For the Father is greater and mightier than I am. And now I have told you this, before it occurs, so that when it does take place, you may believe and have faith in and rely on me. I will not talk with you much more. For the prince, evil genius, ruler of the world is coming, and he has no claim on me. He has nothing in common with me. There is nothing in me that belongs to him. He has no power over me. But Satan is coming, and I do as the Father has commanded me, so that the world may know, be convicted that I love the Father, and that I do only what the Father has instructed me to do, and I act in full agreement with his orders. Rise, let us go away from here. Coming back to the story that John related about the 86-year-old man, I think that's a prime example of a man that learned to heed the commandments of Jesus. What was he doing? He was going into prison, even if it was by himself. At what age? 86. If you love me, keep my commandments. It tells me that he has a heart for men. A heart for men that are not able to be out mingling with general society. The man that was fleeing the police, was he heeding the command to stop? I'm sure there were sirens going. I'm sure there was lights going if two different police departments were on his case. He could have said, well, I have no ownership to this. Why do I need to stop? I have no ownership. What would he have to have done to have ownership? All he would have needed to do is accept what the state had put into order. And that is, when the red lights are going, when the sirens are going, you pull off to the side of the road and what? Stop. He could have had ownership. This man that went to the jail at 86 years old, did he have ownership? He took ownership. He heeded the words of our Savior. Jesus gave his disciples some farewell messages, like I was saying. It seems like the disciples had a glimpse, and Jesus, I think, was telling them that soon your world is going to be shaken up a little bit. Love, as used here, if you love me, is number 25, agapeo. To love indicates a direction of the will and finding one's joy in something. Did this man that went to the jail find his joy in Jesus Christ? I think he did. Jesus is all the world to me. Is that why he was going into prison? Is that why men and women go into prison? Because Jesus is all the world to them. Agapeo is used of God's love toward man and vice versa. It's a decision that I make. It seems Jesus is saying there is only one test, and that is to love. It was by obedience that Jesus showed his love to God, and it is by our obedience that we show our love to Jesus, that we show him that we appreciate what he's done. It is not an attitude, thought, or judgment prompted by feeling. Its expression is always moral and is revealed by obedience. Doing what we are told. There are people who protest their love in words. In other words, they express by their words their love for Jesus and for whatever. But who at the same time bring pain and heartache to those they claim to love. There are children and young people who say they love their parents, but yet at the same time cause them great pain, grief, and anxiety. There are husbands and wives who say they love each other, yet are very inconsiderate, irritable, thoughtless, unkind, and bring pain to each other. Is Jesus saying real love is not an easy thing? Why are there so many churches splintering and splitting? And yet they say they love each other and they have compassion for each other. Do they really? Jesus says, if you love me, keep my commandments. It seems to me like it's shown by true obedience. A little different than we did this morning. I almost told the men, no, we can't do this. But I thought it makes a pretty good statement of what I wanted to talk about. Commandment here means, it comes from another word. It's an injunction, an authoritative prescription, commandment, precept. Commandment, whether from God or men, this word, as it is used primarily here in John 14, means it stresses the authority of the one commanding. Who has more authority than Jesus telling us, if you love me, keep my commandments. Keep my words. Do what I tell you. What would Jesus tell us along the line of non-resistance? What would Jesus tell us along the line of forgiving each other? What would Jesus tell us along the line of separation? What would Jesus tell us about purity? What would Jesus say is in our heart? I don't know what you struggle with. But Jesus says, if you love me, keep my commandments. I'm not sure that I understand what all that means. This word, as it is used here, is used 27 times in the New Testament, at least 27 times. And I didn't count how many times it's used here, but quite a few times. Another word with similar meaning is used in the Old Testament, and that's used 130 times. It is a command, as in the Old Testament, whether human or divine, a precept, a law, the law of Moses, when used collectively, an ordinance, the due. It was the terms of the contract, in a deed of purchase for a plot of land. Sometimes it was the instruction of a teacher to his pupil. Once it was used for the Ten Commandments. Mitzvah was used much more often to describe the particular condition of God's covenant with Israel. There were clear-cut directives which were revealed by inspiration and in effect until the cross of Christ. According to the Merriam-Webster Dictionary, commandment means the act or power of commanding. Something that is commanded, one of the biblical Ten Commandments. Thesaurus simply says the do's and don'ts. Do's and don'ts of life. I get a law magazine monthly. And on the front, in the May issue of 2019, the Ten Commandments are not suggestions, is what it says from a law paper. They say on the inside everyone is familiar with the Ten Commandments, but sadly not many Christians can correctly list them, nor do many consider them while living their daily lives. Television shows harden our consciences in regard to all of the Ten Commandments. Ads encouraging coveting popular television stars ignore the ban on idolatry and murder, and no one in media honors his parents. In America today, all of God's rules are shown in a mocking way in every media. So sadly, it is no surprise to see that several cities' public libraries are having People read books to young children, a program sponsored by the libraries, to rob youth of their innocence and encourage acceptance of all people, no matter what their deviant lifestyles are. James Madison, our fourth president, wisely said, "We have staked the whole future of our new nation not upon the power of government, far from it. We have staked the future of all our political constitutions upon the capacity of each of ourselves to govern ourselves according to the moral principles of the Ten Commandments of God." What would Jesus tell us today? What does it mean, "If you love me, keep my commandments"? I found it interesting several weeks ago at our Wednesday evening meeting. Rick Rhodes, we watched that DVD, The Greatest Command. And he talked about the greatest command in Matthew 22, "Thou shalt love," number 25, "the Lord thy God with all thy heart and with all thy soul and with all thy mind. This is the first and great commandment," the commandment that I'm talking about today. "And the second is like unto it, thou shalt love," number 25, "a direction of the will, thy neighbor as thyself. On these two commandments," again the same word commandment, as used in the scripture today, "hang all the law and the prophets." Some things that Rick said: love God passionately. And he said the word passion is described in the last week of Christ's life. He said that's what passion, how to describe passion. Then he asked the question, "What are you passionate about? Identify where you are putting your passion. If it is wrong, if it is on the wrong thing, confess your sin. Feed on the things to know God," he says. "What you feed on today will be your passion tomorrow. It's what you think about." And then he says, "Seek to know God and to make Him known." Seek to know God and make Him known. He also said, "Don't focus on what's the plan for my life. Focus on the planner for your life. Focus on the planner. Focus on God." Passion for God moves into action towards God. In other words, pursuing God, thinking about God. What does He want? Passion is not something to seek. On the threshold of eternity, values change. Then he asks the question, "Will yours?" When you face death, I think suddenly things look different to you. My dad had 1 week to live. About the middle of that week, when we ask him questions, what do you want us to do with this? What do you want us to do with that? You know what he told me? "I don't care. You and your brothers and mom decide. I don't care anymore." On the threshold of eternity, values change. Will yours? Do you think if this man would still be alive that was running away from the police, do you think his values would have changed if he would have ended up in jail? I think some of the people that are sitting in jail, their values have changed. If your passion is not where it ought to be, Rick says, confess your sin. Identify where you are putting your passion, where you are investing it. Feed on things to know God. Some questions this morning. If my love is for Jesus and to keep His commandments, what difference is it making? Is it making a difference? What difference is it making in your life? Is it making a difference in my family, in your families? Is it making a difference in our lives? Is it making a difference in the lives of those that I'm in contact with? I believe the most important place for the commandments of God to be displayed are in our lives, by how we live. What is important to me? What is important to you? You know, we can do some reckless things, like these three young fellows from Tampa, Florida. They were out playing some practical pranks, but tragically, their game was anything but funny. They pulled some 20 street signs out of the ground, including the stop sign at one fateful intersection. The next day, three 18-year-old buddies were leaving a place where they were, driving down the road. And their car went right through this intersection where the stop signs were pulled out. And it killed them. A year later, these three other boys were convicted of manslaughter. As they stood in orange jumpsuits and handcuffs before the judge in a Tampa courtroom, weeping and wiping their eyes, and were sentenced to 15 years in prison. It's tragic. Sometimes people do some of those things, and there are consequences. But God has signposts in His Word. He has signposts in His Word. Am I pulling out those signposts? What am I doing with those signposts? Am I giving heed to the warnings of His Word? Or what am I doing? How passionate am I for God? Is it more a mouth emotional confession rather than deep conviction and example? How sincere am I or you in our walk with God? How invested am I in church? You may get tired of this. How is my attendance? I hear people tell me sometimes that I love my church. I love my church. I love what we do here. And yet I wonder, because I don't always see it. Is that too blunt? If you love me, keep my commandments. What am I pursuing? If I would ask my children, my family, if I would ask you, what would you tell me that I'm pursuing? What is my passion? Is my passion for Jesus Christ and being all sold out in His work for His kingdom's sake? Am I the 86-year-old person? I don't know if he had a cane or not, but he was out because I believe he loved his Maker. I believe he loved his Maker. Let's bow our heads to pray. Our Father in heaven, teach us what it means to love you and to do your word, to keep your commandment. We know that you have written warnings in your word. Are we heeding those warnings, or are we pulling those signposts out, causing casualties for those coming on? God, I pray that you would continue to impress this message upon my heart and upon our hearts. Thank you for each person that is here. Thank you for each person that is a part of Woodlawn. And I pray that as we go forth in life, that love would be a prevailing factor among us as well as towards you. Help us to show by our lives that we are invested in serving you with fervent hearts. I pray that you would help us to evaluate our hearts and make sure that our love for you is current. Guide our day. Thank you for those that have not been able to be here for a while. I pray that you would continue to bless their lives. And as they continue to mend, as they wait on you, I pray that you would just give them your strength and courage to continue to persevere. Bring healing to their lives. I pray this in the name of Jesus with thanksgiving.